I'm watching the last play now on the All 22 because I finally figured out how to use your login. Yeah, he kind of gave it up a little.
Oh no!
He gave it
see,
up.
Now I gotta go see.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not. It's not like, oh, Lamar, what are you doing? But it is like, huh?
Was there somebody there?
But well, there were two guys converging in front of him. Like he didn't have an angle. Like he couldn't have gone right. He couldn't have gone left. He there were two guys converging to where he was. He wasn't getting to the end zone, and it wasn't one guy that he had to beat.
Uh-huh.
But there was. I get it was like instinctual. There was nothing behind him on that throw. There was nothing. Yeah. They had like three guys back too. He didn't leave points on the. He didn't. And shout out to whoever that was who just threw the ball forward.
No, come on, bro.
Like it wasn't even like. It wasn't even sneaky. It was just like he threw the ball 3 yards ahead of him. All right, man.
Well, what about the Raiders player who batted it down? Why did you do that? Catch the ball.
Well, I think doesn't that dead the ball?
No, because it was a fumble type of situation.
Oh well, but so he just left it in the ref's hands to know that was a four. Boy, that's a risky proposition.
Oh, down. That he batted it down like it was a Hail Mary.
Hit him with the no. I keep watching this play because I'm the more I see it, the more I'm convincing myself that I'm wrong, and Lamar could have beaten like three guys and gotten to the end zone.
I pulled it up on the All 22 from the side. It looks like, you know, it wasn't going to happen.
That's the one. Yeah. That's
but the one that's from the end zone.
Yeah, it looks like, different.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Lamar.
Way different.
I think I'd rather you try to jump somebody out than tossing it back.
Nah, I see it. It's right there.
So, I mean, first of all,
let's see if
once
I can
again,
find that Max Crosby sack on the All 22.
Big shout out to Raider Nation. That was a mm-hmm. big time win.
Yep.
Now we got to talk about the other side of things. That is.
Yeah, so Baltimore now falls to 0-2, two, you know, kind of gutting losses.
This one, with all due respect to the Raiders, this one was unacceptable. If you're a Ravens fan,
yeah, you're up 10 at home.
Yeah,
this, it doesn't matter. You're up 10 at home with 12 minutes left. Like it doesn't matter if it's the Raiders or if it's the Chiefs.
Right.
Like you're at home.
This one can't happen. And now you're 0-2, and we know the stats and all. I think the Ravens are good enough to climb out of that situation, but that's tough.
It's not good.
That is not.
And then the stat of the blown leads in the fourth quarter, the stat that Ramsey had of the blown leads after the first quarter, that's tough. Like it you know, we saw this with Cincinnati, and we'll talk about this later. When you get dissected by Patrick Mahomes, it's tough. It's not easy, but it's one of those things where you just like, all right, well, there's one guy who could do that to us.
Yeah.
That you can't get walked down by Gardner Minshew.
Oh, man, that sounds crazy.
Even with
I'd be so hot if I was,
can't get walked down by Gardner Minshew. Yeah, that's crazy.
That can't happen.
It cannot.
Oh man.
It absolutely cannot.
I still think because I'm not in the position. I take a little longer. Maybe I'm late to the party on some of this stuff, but I take a little longer to maybe change my opinion about certain teams sometimes. I still think Baltimore is one of the best teams in football. I still think they're a Super Bowl contender. Do you look at them different after yesterday?
No. It's I'm not going to overreact one way or another to any team at this point in the season.
Agreed.
I look at these like they're tough losses for Baltimore. One of them is to Kansas City, who, again, it's another one you shake your head at. You don't want to lose in that situation, but you did. Mm-hmm. All right. Opening night, emotion, all sorts of different things at play. It sucks. It's part of the story. You don't want to lose that game.
Right.
They didn't play great yesterday, but I'm going to credit the Raiders' defense for
Absolutely.
That. Absolutely. I'm going to credit what the Raiders did for that, and they still put themselves in a place to win. You've got to – really what the Ravens are looking at right now is a way to – they've got to get better at closing out these games, whether that's Lamar, whether that's the offensive the offense collectively, or it's the defense collectively, or it's collectively the Baltimore Ravens. They've got to figure out a way to close these games. And there are teams, as we'll discuss probably over the course of the next 2 or 3 days, that I am looking at a little bit sideways after the first 2 weeks. There's a few teams that I'm looking at with my eyes open, like, all right, I see you. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry I wasn't familiar with your game. Mm-hmm. The Ravens are just a team where it's like, all right, well, you can't do that, but they'll be fine.
It feels like,
and that's where I'm at with Baltimore.
It feels like, and to be honest with you, we're kind of just talking about one game, and that's unfair. And what I mean by that is, I was going to say it feels like their margin for error is gone now because they're 0-2.
Yeah.
But I wish you'd tell the whole story.
Thank you, Doc.
I didn't expect them to win week one. So it's not like, oh, you have one loss, that one loss there. I'm looking at you different. I did expect them to win this game. So it's not as if I expected them to start 2-0 and here they are 0-2. It was really like 1-1. And you got to find a way to make up for that Raiders game. You know what I mean? To get back on track. And I don't know what that win is. I don't know if it's at Dallas next week. I don't know if it's a Bills game. But find a way to make up for that Raiders game that probably you as a franchise or as a team and others around penciled in for a win.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to take one of those games that people thought you might lose and get back on track. So that's a bad loss for them.
And that's the number one thing for me. With that game, at least, that's why you don't do this practice. Hell, you could look at the 49ers one, too. JJ goes out, you look at what they're facing. That's why you don't go through this schedule and go, okay, win here, win here. I get it's a practice of sports media, but this is why the practice is stupid. You can look at, oh, they should have won this game. Well, yeah, well, the Raiders were hungry, too. They're professional. They get paid, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they dropped a tough one last week. Spent the entire week going over the film and why they lost the way that they did and had to respond. They had to respond against who we believe to be a Super Bowl contender, but they had to respond.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota got off to a hot start last week. Like, oh, man, there might be something here. But got the 49ers coming into town. Mm-hmm. That's might not be there for them. Like, that's why this whole practice can be a bit silly.
I do agree, but that's the Ravens should have won that game.
Like, no, the Ravens should have won the game because they were up 10 with 12 minutes left.
Yeah, but they going into that game, that's a game that you got to win. That's a game that you got to win.
If they win the next 14, is it? Or 15?
No, but you got to win that game. Or in going into that game, like that's one that you can't. You're in a position to be able to take care of business there. Got to be. That's no different. In my opinion, then
the Raiders winning is an upset. I'm not doubting that. I don't think this is an egregious loss outside of the fact you blew a double-digit lead with 12 minutes left.
Yeah, but that's no different than people getting upset because the Kings lost to the Pistons. Like you should.
Oh, no, don't do that. The Raiders aren't the Pistons.
I'm not saying they are. Or
you just did.
I'm not saying they're the Pistons. The Hornets or whatever. Going into that game.
That's not any better, sir.
Going into that game, you look at it like we should win that game.
No, it's not the same. That's not the same. That's not fair.
I mean,
that's not fair.
But to be fair to the conversation, no, I think me and you are one of the only people high on what the Raiders possibly could be. The consensus around is they're one of the worst teams in football.
Oh, and that's crazy.
And we disagree. Me and you, we both disagree that to that sentiment. I think there's a path, you feel the same way, where they can win 8 or 9 games.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw a lot of these previews. I heard a lot of people. The consensus is they're one of the worst teams in football. And if that's what people are thinking, we didn't have no problem doing it with Minnesota. And they proved us wrong. You know what I mean? Like going into the season, we thought Minnesota was going to be one of the worst teams. And they're playing good football.
Yeah, but there was a reason for that. Like there was a very distinctive reason.
Well,
like
there's a reason. People have their reasons for the Raiders too.
Yeah, it's Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, but, and the rest of the offense. But they were able. And after week one, it looked like, man, the margin for error is tough.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not calling the Raiders the Pistons.
I don't think it's as egregious as you do.
I'm not calling the Raiders the Pistons or the Hornets. But that is the consensus of how they were looked at around the league.
And that's fine. I guess we're the only smart ones who do this.
I agree. I'm with that. End of discussion. We're the only smart ones.
It's the new tagline. Put it on a shirt. Show. Yeah. Yeah, wait till 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock when everyone around here gets yelled at because we're smarter than everybody else. The Raiders were the underdog in this one, and I get it. I mean, there's a lot of things if you're Baltimore. Like, that was your home opener. That was
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
A team that you were favored against. Mm-hmm. And it was a team that you had kind of looked like you were on the verge of putting them away. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't. And so there's a lot that they'll have to take. The Baltimore Ravens will have to take into this week of film watching and this week of practicing to get themselves ready for week three. We'll come back to the 49ers, talk a little bit about Jordan Mason, what he did, more on the Christian McCaffrey situation, what that could mean for the San Francisco 49ers' long-term future, and then we'll start looking around the rest of the NFL. Yeah. Because, boy, like, hey, we talk about having fun when we're right and acknowledging when we're wrong. No overreactions here, but we need to ask some questions about the NFC South. My goodness. Stilo and Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. I said this to start the show. I don't know if Bryce Young is a good quarterback or not. I have no idea. I know the Carolina Panthers are not a good organization.
How much money would you put that it was a call from the owner?
Well, there it was pretty. It wasn't.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, there.
Where did you see that?
It was. In one of the reports earlier that Tepper didn't make the call, that it was a call from, I forgot the guy's name, their new head coach.
Dave Canales.
He came from Tampa, right? And their, like, general manager, their ownership decisions, he said he was looking at film. And
they must really think he stinks, though.
Wow. So the question here, though, is...
That opener last night was tough, by the way. Did you see it? The Sunday Night Football opener? Opener to the game?
Uh-uh.
So it centered on the Bears winning that game and how, you know, the it shifted, like, where quarterbacks went. Mm-hmm. And they're like, Bryce Young goes to Carolina. And then the Texans are allowed to get C.J. Stroud. And then you see, you know, the Bears finally land their guy in Caleb Williams. And now it's a marquee night. And Bryce Young's name is never mentioned again.
Man.
It's not even these three guys showing promise. It's like, no, it was like Bryce and CJ and Caleb. And now it's a primetime. It's like, oh, that's tough. That's tough, especially after what had just happened. You know, it's 5 o'clock when that thing runs. And it's like, oh.
So I'll ask this question, and I understand the sports society we live in and what Bryce Young being benched means or represents. But is there a possibility that maybe this is happening to kind of help this kid, this young man, help him along? Because I look at it like this. He's not going to get any better with this team. This group, I don't even mean like the franchise, the offensive line.
Yeah.
He's not going to get any better.
Yep.
You're going to do is just get this guy killed more and more and lower his self-esteem as a quarterback.
Sure.
More and more. Could it be a situation where it's like, let's just get Absolutely. Him out of this? Because there's no way to like...
Let's get Andy Dalton murdered. Because the clips that they just showed is a defensive end breaking through the offensive line on four consecutive plays that they just showed on a four consecutive highlight reel that you look at and you go, what quarterback is like that their fault?
Right.
It's not Bryce Young's fault.
Are you guys taking a quarterback number one next year, though? Because if you are, that kind of just negates everything.
If you are, then there's no discussion. It shows what you've already. It shows what you don't think Bryce Young is your guy.
Would you guys personally?
No. You have to build your team somehow. If you have the number one overall pick, trade it. Mm. Unless.
So you still believe in Bryce Young?
If you're not
drafting a quarterback first in the draft next year, I'm assuming you still believe Bryce Young can be something.
No. Yes. What I'd rather do is trade that pick and get and find a way to make my roster better. Give me an offensive line that could protect him. Like, can anyone look at Bryce Young and say definitively they know he's a good or a bad quarterback?
No,
because I need rationale as to how you can make that judgment. The team sucks, the organization sucks, and I need to know how you've made this judgment.
I don't think that you can definitively say that right now about Bryce Young.
If he had something, do you think we would have seen something by now, though?
Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield are an indictment of how bad Carolina is.
See, but like Baker, you could tell, even with the Browns, like, all right, Baker could play quarterback, and it's just things didn't work out. Sam is
don't gloss over that. You're saying things didn't work out, but it's because Carolina sucks.
Well, I'm saying like you knew
it's the one place it hasn't worked for Baker.
I'm saying Baker, you knew he had talent with the Browns. He went to the Panthers after, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So like the Panthers, like that was just kind of its own thing. But like you knew Baker could play quarterback because like we've seen it, even though it wasn't always perfect. Like there was things you saw. Like have we seen anything with Bryce Young?
There's more evidence that Carolina ruins quarterbacks than anything else. Sam Darnold playing well for 2 weeks. They said he was going to win the 49ers job last year.
I don't disagree, but and I guess it also depends on how you feel about these players. But if Shador or Cam Ward are sitting there.
Yeah. Like, so what are you going to do? Put Shador in the situation that Bryce Young is in?
I got to think that maybe.
There's no way Carolina's on the list either. So I'll just throw this whole question out. There ain't no way Carolina's on the list.
Well, look, Cam Ward, though. Cam Ward might not have a list.
Oh, that's true.
And he's there.
I like Cam Ward, but again, aren't you putting Cam Ward in the position that Bryce Young is in?
Yes and no. You got to think that
What'd you say about my man in Detroit that I really liked? The Keegan Murray draft.
Oh, Jaden Ivey?
Jaden Ivey. Thank you. I couldn't think of his last name. Jaden Ivey. What'd you say about him when I was like, hey, he probably might be the best player on the board? At some point, you got to get Fox help. At some point, you can't just negate you're drafting another player at his position. Like, get him help somewhere else on the field. Get your team help somewhere else on the field.
Right. You're right. But in that respect, which I never felt, and I don't think you ever felt either, if you felt Jaden Ivey could at one point be better than De'Aaron Fox, you might just have to take Jaden Ivey.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's what I'm saying. Like, if you think Shador or Cam Ward are better than Bryce Young, you might just have
to
take
him. So you're just going out there and losing some more then with the potential of getting your quarterback
killed. What you could do, though, is maybe not start them right away.
Hmm.
Right? So, like, maybe your team isn't ready, and it doesn't happen this way. This is a complete anomaly. But
you're going to go out there with Andy Dalton as your starting quarterback and sit Shador, Bryce, or whoever.
Yeah, I would
while Andy gets murdered.
But Andy might understand how not to get murdered, right? He may see things that Bryce or the rookie quarterback and be able to make the adjustments and make the reads, say, hey, watch this guy over here that Bryce just can't see yet. And there's a free rusher coming over here, and knowing like, all right, I got a free rusher. This is where, like, just the veteran stuff. Not that he's like super.
Yeah,
good
Bryce, you have about a split second to decide that because that's all your offensive line has in there.
Yeah, And he may not be ready to decipher all that, and Andy might.
No one can. You telling me Andy Dalton's going to survive what we just saw?
I think he has a better chance than
Brian. Probably look better.
Yeah, I think he has a better chance. Just because...
Y'all going to make me root for that man's failure.
Well, I'm just saying, like, just... Like Tyler may be ready. He might be talented enough, I believe he is, to be able to run the board. But if he don't know what it looked like right now, Jesse may be able to, hey, I see what's going on here. Just press this button. Tyler is just like, it's just a bunch of buttons. Like, I don't know what to do here.
It is a lot of buttons.
You know what I mean? Like, the experience, I think, will keep Andy Dalton from getting completely decapitated. He might get a little decapitated around that. But I would.
His kappa was detated.
Who's that?
Shout out to The Office.
You'll get there.
Wait,
buddy.
Am I close
no,
to that one?
No. Damn. No, I don't think so.
Damn.
Yeah, no. You're not,
I don't know.
You're not
I would.
Close.
I would. To answer, I'll get off the fence. I think I would if Cam Ward or Shador are there. I'm drafting the quarterback. Mm. I'm gonna have a vet. I'm gonna have a Jimmy Garoppolo start.
Well, this was all just a ruse to get Jimmy Garoppolo's starting position. This guy's love for Jimmy.
Yeah.
Garoppolo. This was all a work.
Wow.
This was all a work. It was me, Austin. It was me all along.
You also low-key compare me to Andy Dalton.
Yeah, you kind of did. No, you kind of did.
Yeah.
I was going to let it go. I wasn't even going to.
I'm out here throwing Deontay Johnson and Adam Thielen over here.
It's Patrick Mahomes in there, and you called that man the Red
Rocket.
Look at
this offensive line I'm working with. I'm getting killed over here.
This man's been the host of a show for 3 straight days now.
Thursday and Friday too, I think.
We need the insider schedule. One of them dudes is gone all of the time. Kenny and I get 1 week in the summer, and these two's just well, week
need,
one.
I James, need to take James, the week this year.
James is like, oh, it's free agency. I'm out of here. I'm gonna go to Cabo for a month.
I didn't even take the week this year. I technically just took a day. I was on the airplane with some crazy guy the whole time.
Oh,
that was going there. We went to Chicago.
Was that the Baltimore one? Yeah. Which trip was that?
Yeah, that was going there with a crazy guy from Chicago was talking about Jennifer Hudson. Okay, all right, man.
That's
when we
right.
get off this plane.
That's right.
But yeah, that's. But the whole thing is because Drew Down asked, "How do you get better by benching him? How does it make it better? You can potentially save this guy's confidence. You can." Let things slow down
the
a little
Panthers
bit.
The Panthers don't get better.
Right. No, the team doesn't necessarily get
but
better.
But Bryce doesn't
or they
get...
might. They might get better as a team. I'm not saying Andy Dalton's going to win, but maybe they're not getting beat by 30 points because they got somebody there that can chill out
they're
a little
bit. They're getting beat by
10? Maybe. It might happen.
Andy Dalton being plus 30 is wild to me.
You don't think that it's conceivable that Andy Dalton in there could give the team a better showing?
I do not.
It's not conceivable. I didn't say likely.
No, is it like can it? Can, sure,
because things sure. are going so crazy fast with Bryce, and there's nothing there. There's nothing, and Bryce sees nothing there, and he just sees 22 people on the defensive end. Andy Dalton sees nothing there, and be like, well, there might
I don't,
be.
But
this.
See, that's the thing. I don't know that he sees it. Okay, on some plays, sure, he probably does see 22. He probably does see 11 guys out there on the defensive end. He sees the one that's in his face 1 second after the ball is snapped. He can't even complete his drive. We talk about progressions and dissecting. So he doesn't even have time to do any of that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's just getting mauled.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm going to forget his name 10 times out of 10. I guess this is the week you do it because you got Max Crosby coming up on Sunday. You got that Raiders defense that got to Lamar Jackson coming up on Sunday. And maybe this is the time where it's like, I don't know if we're making a decision to win games. I don't know if we're making a decision to get better, but we might be making a decision to preserve the guy we believe is our franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
Or maybe they no longer believe Bryce Young is their franchise quarterback.
All right.
And if that's the case, I got a lot of questions about that organization.
And I'm with you, and I just feel like, Trot, at this point, from what we've seen, and I know it's only 2 weeks, but you can talk about last year as well, just trotting him out there is not what's best for him or the organization.
I understand. The 49ers won't be trotting Christian McCaffrey out there, that's for sure.
I don't know when that's happening.
We don't. Another really solid game for Jordan Mason yesterday in that frustrating loss to Minnesota. A 20-carry game, a 100-yard game. It was made official over the weekend that Christian McCaffrey is, in fact, going to IR. He is out a minimum of the next 4 weeks. Kyle acknowledged a couple of things in this post-game press conference where he said the 4 weeks allows McCaffrey to rest. And he said, it's not just McCaffrey, it allows us to rest. And it's, I think, along the lines of what you were talking about when you first posed this question a week ago, when Kyle was like, no, he's not a candidate for this. The 49ers don't think about it either. Mm-hmm. There's no thought of, hey, let's test CMC, see if he's ready to go. Hey, can CMC be ready for the Rams? You know, they got this tricky defense. Nope. There's no Christian McCaffrey for the Rams. There's no Christian McCaffrey for the next 4 weeks. Everyone is on board with that. Mm-hmm. I think the true stunning remarks, though, from Kyle Shanahan came when he admitted his timeline isn't 4 weeks. Mm. His timeline isn't the 6 weeks when you add the first two. His timeline doesn't even appear to be 12 weeks from when the injury first took place. The timeline at this point appears to be completely unknown. Mm. And what that means for Christian McCaffrey this year, what that means for the San Francisco 49ers this year, kind of remains to be seen. Right. There is a situation, 6 weeks, 49ers play the Cowboys in week 8. Again, Kyle was not selling us on a week 8 return for Christian McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. Week 9, they have a bye. Maybe not inconceivable to think Christian McCaffrey actually misses the next 6 weeks and then returns for their Week 10 game.
And depending on maybe the record might matter or whatever, I don't know if it necessarily should, but if he's scheduled to come back, I think is the scheduled game that game or the Chiefs game? I can't remember.
Which one?
The Cowboys game or the Chiefs game? I thought it was the Chiefs game.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was the Cowboys. I'll double check. I might have made a mistake.
Sure, though.
I wrote it in my notes, but it's perfectly conceivable I made a mistake. But I'll look right now.
But if it's the Cowboys game, I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. There's no way he comes back that game.
If my math is wrong, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I have the Chiefs as a Week 7 game.
Okay.
And the Cowboys at Week 8. He's missing the Rams, Patriots, Cardinals, Seahawks. So, yeah, I'm sorry. 4 weeks would be the Chiefs game.
So
you have the Chiefs and the Cowboys, then the bye.
Even then, man, maybe it's too conservative or whatever, but even then, you're 2 weeks out from the bye. He can come off the IR so you don't have to have him locked in there.
Come to think about it, wouldn't it be the week before? Because he went in on Saturday before the Vikings game. That's one.
That's when they placed him on IR.
They put him on IR on Saturday, didn't they?
Jesse knew that on Friday.
So, well, he did. He reported it on Friday.
Yeah.
But they didn't execute the process until Saturday, which means everything I just presented is wrong because the Vikings would be week one. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The Rams would be week two. The Patriots would be week three. The Cardinals would be week four. He'd be eligible to return against the Seahawks.
Yeah.
And then you have the Seahawks, the Chiefs, Dallas, and then you have the bye, which makes the scenario I presented, I think, a little bit more inconceivable unless he's just flat out not ready.
Well, the other thing about that, like we can play it out this way too, because I think you are right. You could look at that Seahawks game, which is when he'd be eligible, or is that the one
when he would be eligible.
That'd be the one where, like, yeah, we're not bringing him back for that. So Thursday night
in Seattle, yeah,
you can essentially get another week, so to speak, going into the Kansas City game. If you thought he was ready for that game, don't bring him out.
Or you do think he's ready, mm-hmm. and you get 10 days off. You get the mini bye, mm-hmm. so to speak. After that
could happen too.
To where you get the Thursday, and then it's like, all right. Like how? Like he's ready. He's clear. Like how ready is he? Can he be ready? You know, is he going to be in good shape for the Kansas City Chiefs in 10 days? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, maybe you make some judgments there. And obviously, if he's not, you've got a far greater concern if he comes back in that week six and he's not ready.
Right.
You have a far bigger concern if he comes back and then he isn't ready 10 days later.
Right. Does the way, in your opinion, does the way Jordan Mason play, does that have any bearing on when you bring him back? Like, if he's able to play at this level, do you potentially get more patient with how long you hold out Christian McCaffrey?
I feel like for the caliber of player McCaffrey is, like, as soon as he's healthy and ready to go, you got to play him.
You know what could change my mind? Because, right, my instinctual reaction is no, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. If he goes, 20 carries, 100 yards, whatever, and they win all of these games, like, all right, I'll go along with that. Mm-hmm. But the thing that would change my mind is if you have this stat line or something similar from Jordan Mason over the next couple of weeks, and you throw in 3 receptions for 50 yards.
Mm.
Or you point to a moment in a game where he caught a pass out of the backfield and broke it for a first down on 3rd and 4.
Yeah,
like those because you can go running back to running back if you want to. You can go running back numbers to running back numbers if you want to, but you can't go playmaker to playmaker because right now Jordan Mason has been a solid fill in for Christian McCaffrey, the running back.
Mm-hmm.
There, to this point, is no replacement for Christian McCaffrey, the playmaker.
Yeah.
They're trying to make it Debo. Failed miserably yesterday, but they're trying to make it Debo because they run some of the reverses in the past, and they just all went bad for Debo yesterday. Fantastic in the receiver spot.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else didn't really work for him, though, and it feels like maybe if you get Debo going in that regard, it's a little bit different, but you had 2 playmakers. So far this season, you really haven't had any. But you always have, at the very least, you always have the threat of Debo Samuel.
Yeah.
And that's a positive for them. So I'm gonna go no for right now, but my mind on that can change.
He's done a really good job.
In 5 and 4 straight wins would change my, or I guess it can't be 4. 3 straight wins would change my mind.
He's done a really good job, man, Jordan Mason.
Yes.
In his time, man. And he looks like he has been waiting for this opportunity. He's ready for this opportunity, and he's taking advantage of it.
I need to look something up. I don't know if this isn't if this isn't true. It's really close to true that Jordan Mason has had more carries in the first 2 weeks in his entire career combined.
Yeah, it's a Kyle Madsen tweet.
Mm. Oh, is it?
Yeah, I think Mason's at 48 carries now. I think his career high for a season is like 42.
That's right. Yep. Yeah. It looks like 43 his rookie year. And 40 last year. Mm. He's at 48 this year.
Man, that's crazy. He's done really good.
Played 17 games last year, 16 games the year before.
The one thing that I worry about with him is he runs in a very physical manner.
So you know what's interesting? Well, I guess it just kind of shows you who he is. He has 48 and 247. That's his number this year, 247 yards.
Mm-hmm.
His rookie year was, again, it's all very different. 43 carries, 258 yards.
Mm.
So the yards per carry, it's kind of always been there.
Yeah.
Just the volume has not.
He's somebody that people have kind of clamored to see for a little while now.
Mm.
They want to say, hey, get an opportunity, give him more of an opportunity to run the ball and to maybe spell CMC sometimes, so you take some of the workload off of how many carries he gets in a game, because people believe JP, Jordan, whatever you want to call him,
Georgia Tech's finest, him and Roman Reigns,
he should get the opportunity, and now he has that opportunity due to injury, and he's making the most of it. He really is.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing more that you could ask for from a player stepping into this position,
yep,
than what Jordan Mason has done so far.
Mm-hmm.
The handling of this will be interesting. Kyle, I'm sure Kyle was, his tone about Christian McCaffrey was a little bit amplified because of the fact that he did just lose a football game, mm-hmm. and it's the end of the world when they lose a football game. And of course, this was a franchise that was really noisy during the off seasons with the Trent Williams stuff and the Brandon Ayuk stuff. Brandon Ayuk, another pretty quiet game. And when you have the off season that Brandon Ayuk had, and you're quiet, you're going to get criticized for it.
What do you think? I saw a tweet from Butcher Boy. I got Butcher Boy yesterday, where he said, essentially, don't tell me practice doesn't matter. I'm watching this game and I'm seeing guys look tired and sluggish late in games. Do you see the same thing?
I do not. I mean, that's a trained eye in my man Butcher Boy, but I think that's an excuse.
I saw it a little bit in week one.
Yesterday, well, Trent was obviously tired.
Yeah, I think it looked like Brandon was kind of dragging.
Yeah, maybe he was, but I mean, Trent played every snap early part of the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. and then you know he goes to get the IV and things kind of switch up. I don't think that's the case, mm-hmm. but that's just my opinion. I don't think the 49ers lost to the Vikings yesterday because Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams were tired.
Hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I'd have to see. I'd have to look at the tape. I got to look at the tape.
We got the 22 pulled up.
They got to look at the tape. But like you said, though, it's going to be something that is brought up when you have holdouts like that.
Absolutely. And I think less so with Trent. It should at least be brought up less so with Trent Williams, though. You did see that downgraded, so to speak, performance from the offensive line yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Brandon Ayuk, who I think is going to come around and play better. I mean, 4 for 43. You know what they're going to say? I need more than that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I need more than that. I need you closer to 100 every
mm-hmm.
game,
mm-hmm.
especially when you got a guy like Justin Jefferson who is making top dollar, but that's the level that you said you wanted to be at.
Yeah.
So,
well, good thing is he didn't do what Jamar Chase did yesterday.
Mm.
Talk about that later. Head over to trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. Take advantage of the free nutritionist consultation they got offered for you. Take advantage of the free macro calculator for all of you that is right there on trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. You enter your weight, enter your goals, enter your height, all of that different stuff, and it'll let you know what types of calories you should be consuming each day. There's a link to maptrition.com right there. You can get the strength enhancers, the protein shakes, the cravings crushers, the sleep amplifiers, the fat burners, all of the stuff that we've been talking about here for weeks that have helped amplify my training over the course of the last couple of months. It's trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. And we'll come back. We didn't get to it yet, but we will. The NFC South appears to be for real.
Mm.
And we'll talk about it here. Dealing with KC on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Two quick things. Shout out to our girl, Kimberly, who's back after...
Kimmy's back.
Kimmy is back after a week of not feeling well. And so are the snacks.
Let's go.
I don't even get snacks that often, but just seeing that whole area full again was kind of exhilarating.
I'm not going to lie. I was kind of walking back for like a little bag of chips, whatever. I walk back. Oh, it's all like everything's here. It's like so many choices.
There's M&Ms and Twix and oranges.
I grabbed Pringles. I'm not too happy with that selection, so I might have to go back.
See, might have to go back. And that's the way
people got options. You got options.
Yeah, well, when it's free. Oh, I don't like this. Throw it away. Go grab
something. Bro, it threw me off so much. I didn't even grab a drink.
See, and the drinks are full. Another thing, you mentioned Baby Boy during the commercial break. Baby Boy, directed by?
John Singleton.
How old was John Singleton when he directed Boys in the Hood?
I would say 22, 23.
Pretty damn close. He was 23 years old.
Mm, I remember hearing about that. He was young, dude.
And y'all want to go see A Dead Body? Mm. Was an homage to?
I don't know that one.
Stand By Me.
Mm.
Which he said was one of his favorite movies.
Wasn't Stand By Me the leeches were on him?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't even know why we needed that scene.
Yeah. John Singleton, such an interesting... such an interesting story. There's a book that I stumbled across called Hollywood Black that I really want to read too, because I've started to learn some things that I didn't know before. Like you look at John Singleton's like career arc, and there are movies that like we love but weren't like loved mm-hmm. and universally accepted the way that Boys in the Hood was. Mm-hmm. And Boys in the Hood was, you know, there was this thing once upon a time called like the hood genre, and Boys in the Hood was first. And it introduced the world to Morris Chestnut, Regina King,
Nia Long.
Nia Long. There are people who had done movies before, but never like on that level. Lawrence Fishburne was like 29 years old in that movie. Mm-hmm. He got the role. He like the role was made for him because John Singleton was a PA / security guard on Pee-wee's Playhouse. And the person he talked to the most on the set of Pee-wee's Playhouse was the actor who was then going by the name Larry Fishburne. Hmm. And that's how he got cast as Furious Styles. Of course, Angela Bassett gets the role as Trey's mom. Hmm. Those two go on together to be Ike and Tina Turner.
Hmm.
And What's Love Got to Do with
that's
It?
That's crazy.
But the second movie from John Singleton was Poetic Justice. Mm-hmm. There is no critical acclaim for Poetic Justice at all.
More of a cult classic. I'm part of that cult.
It's a culture classic less than a cult classic.
What I think of a cult classic is the people who any movie, like, and people who love that movie, Right, that's kind of what my thought is, but I'm not. It's not
the movie's case. Openly bad, by the way.
There's only one
person is bad in the movie, like god awful in the movie. Now she got better as her acting career went along, but she was really bad in this.
Yeah, that wasn't a good role for her.
But I
she
thought
was good on Good Time.
Wow, they were like John Singleton. It was just such a weird like career trajectory, right? And then I started learning about Spike Lee and how Spike's first movie made like 40 times what it cost.
Mm.
And he still couldn't get a budget for School Days.
Mm-hmm.
He did not what he wanted.
Right.
And then he fought hard to get a budget for Do the Right Thing. And they said, okay, you want $10 million. We're not going to give you 10, but we will give you 8, but you have to change the ending.
Hmm.
We want the two main characters to hug. Instead of an uprising, we want them to like hug it out at the end. And Spikeless said F off.
Yeah.
There's no way that's what I'm doing. And he had to take less money to be able to do the right thing. This was a dude who was making people rich in Hollywood on his third movie. Hadn't missed yet. And had to continue to fight to get everything.
What was the first one?
She Gotta Have It.
I thought it was She Gotta Have It.
Yeah, She Gotta Have It.
Because I remember I used to always think Do the Right Thing was the first one I saw. So I always
Do the Right Thing was third.
Mm-hmm. But then I went back and realized, oh no, that wasn't the first.
She's Gotta Have It is first. School Days is second. And Do the Right Thing is third.
I have to watch School Days again.
I heard another little nugget listening to a podcast. They didn't say it by name, but there's only two people it could be. That Cuba Gooding Jr.'s role in Boys in the Hood, they wanted the John Singleton and I think Lawrence Fishburne both alluded to it in different interviews that they wanted a prominent black actor to fill that role. Mm-hmm. They didn't want a bunch of unknowns, which is what everybody was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you start like looking around going, there were only two prominent black actors at the time. One was Denzel and the other was Eddie Murphy. And the consensus is they think the studio was pushing to get Eddie Murphy to be Trey in Boys in the Hood. And John Singleton was like,
no, there's no,
like we can't like, no, it can't be Eddie Murphy.
None of that works.
None of it.
That's crazy.
Absolutely none.
What was the, because now you got me thinking, I feel like Boys in the Hood was the first one to take it to another level. Was Colors a New Jack City before Boys in the Hood, or was it after? And they're different. They're
That's
not the
a good
same
question. They are different. I wouldn't classify New Jack City as a...
New Jack City is a cult classic.
I wouldn't classify New Jack City as a hood genre. I'm going to get the exact age. January 17th, 1991 for New Jack City. Boys in the Hood. The original, it's 1991. I doubt it's earlier than January. July 2nd. So New Jack was first. The original name for Boys in the Hood was Summer of 84. That's what Singleton's screenplay was called.
Mm.
Summer of 84. I learned a lot this weekend.
Yeah. It's a fantastic movie, man.
It is. It's incredible. It's Ice Cube's best movie. And I think I'd love to ask him this one day. I think the reason he never did another movie like this. Mm. He never did a movie that showed off his acting ability the way that this movie did. Mm. And I think it's because the movie made him too vulnerable.
Mm.
Like, he was so good in that movie. He was so emotional. And you hung on every expression, every move, everything he did in the final 18 minutes. Mm-hmm. You hung on. And it was all because of him and the way he delivered it. Even the way he walked away from Trey on the patio.
Yeah.
And I just... looking at what Ice Cube did since then, and of course it could be the success of Friday too.
Right.
I don't think he ever wanted to be that vulnerable again.
He was.
I think he cried in that last scene. I can't remember if he did or not.
Yeah, he did when he was
on the stoop, right? Yeah.
He was talking to Train, then wiped it off, and mm-hmm. Kept it moving. I'm not trying to diminish anything. I'm not going to say he was the, but I will say he was a superstar in that movie.
100%.
He was so good.
100%.
As Doughboy. So good as Doughboy.
I feel like him and Lawrence Fishburne were the two standouts in that movie.
I'm with that.
Morris Chestnut just remains a frustratingly good-looking human being who can just, do whatever.
He's in a new show right now. Have you seen it at all? I think it's on Hulu.
I don't think so.
I forgot the name. Jazz is watching it. But it actually looks pretty good.
Of course she is.
Looks pretty. Shout out to my boy Ace. This was my movie right here. It's not the same type of movie, but The Last Dragon is a culture classic.
You know what killed the hood genre?
What's that?
Your boys. The Dwaynes. There's never been I don't think there was ever made a hood movie after Don't Be a Menace to all of that drinking your juice. I don't think there was ever a hood movie made. That was not a good movie.
Relatively speaking, it shouldn't have won no awards. It was funny though. There's a gang of
Reasonable
funnies
Doubt
in that movie.
Is the show called Reasonable Doubt?
Yeah, that sounds right. There was a gang of funny ass moments in that movie. That movie was hella funny. When the guy goes up to the black woman and starts talking, he says, "Hey, sister, can you move so I can go talk
to this white girl?" Yeah, that's funny.
No, that was a hilarious movie. That was a good funny movie.
So I spent my weekend learning about John Singleton, I guess.
Shout out John Singleton, man. Legend.
R.I.P.
Legend.
Last also, project was?
Snowfall.
There it is.
Yeah.
You're doing John Singleton a disservice by not finishing it.
I'm getting there.
No, you're not. Yeah, when was the last time you watched an episode? Yeah.
It was about I ain't gonna lie to you, it was about a month ago.
Have you watched more episodes of The Office than you have Snowfall?
No, Snowfall. Because I'm into, I think, the third episode of season two.
Oh, okay.
Remember, because I came in here telling how I'm just not interested in one of those storylines.
I think I already rewatched Snowfall. And this guy hasn't even gone through the second season yet.
I've thought about rewatching that.
It's good.
That show is epic. That show is
terrific. This is a bad weekend for me watching shows because I'm still...
No, don't do this. Don't do this.
What?
We told you all summer, watch this stuff now, because when whack basketball comes around, you're not going to watch any of this stuff.
I have to watch Big Sky Football over the weekend.
Hey, guys, Cal State Fullerton is playing Long Beach State today.
All right, dude.
Hopefully one day Sac State playing Team X. Sac State.
Well, at the rate we're going, Sac State's going to be playing Alabama in a year.
That's facts. I'm thinking, oh, man, I got to holler at my boy. But what was I going to say? I hadn't even watched the first two episodes of Power.
I think Sac State just forgot. We asked them for something. I got to connect with them. I just realized, man, I haven't heard from Sac State in a while. I'll send that text back out later.
Yeah, I hadn't seen the first two episodes of.
Yeah, me either. I'm behind.
I heard it pretty good too. That's what the streets are saying.
It should be because we're coming to a conclusion.
Yeah, they only got like three episodes.
Yeah, like this. I think stuff gets really good when you know what the ending is.
Damn, they did a good job.